Well, hey, and welcome. Last week, we just mentioned cheddars in passing. And as a result, there is definitely, I know this through doing the drive time thing, particularly on a Friday when we have phone calls. I'm saying, you know, what are you doing for, oh, we're just going to go down the chippy or we're just getting a takeaway. When you are very, there are certain times of the day when you're very suggestible. And if someone says, peanut butter and Marmite toast. Go, oh yes, that is exactly what. You know. So, as a result of which, Cheddar Intake has. We're still not sponsored by Cheddars, but we'd still like to be sponsored by Cheddars. Here's a box of Cheddars for you to share between you. It did make me think that the worst flavor crisp. I'm trying to reduce all my crisp intake anyway, on the basis that salt and alcohol are the two things that will kill you.
Wasn't that a single by Dr. Feelgood, salt and alcohol?
Yes. Unfortunately, milk and alcohol. Milk is good for you, although I can't stand drinking the stuff. Yes. So anyway, the worst. So you reduce your salt intake and reduce your alcohol intake and your heart will appreciate it. So therefore, I'm trying to have fewer crisps. But the worst flavor, if all the crisp flavors were beef, then it would be very easy to never eat another crisp. This is the same principle that the reason my parents never drank very much at all through their lives is that all the alcohol that they had in the house was rank. You know, it's easy not to drink wine if the only wine in the house is terrible wine. So I think maybe, I don't know, what's the worst flavored crisp? Because I'm sure there's no meat in beef.
So can I just ask, just quickly, so what you're suggesting is that places like Marks and Spencer's and the Wine Society are responsible for us being a nation of alcoholics because they have made delicious wine widely available at very affordable prices.
Exactly. And the Wine Society deliver for free. Anyway,
I know.
It's almost as though I'm a member and I know about these things. You just want to buy one bottle? Certainly we'll deliver it grudgingly. But yes. No, they do it with a smile.
If you do it for three boxes, sir, it comes in, oh, really? That's a saving. I've just saved us some money. But anyway.
What is the worst flavored crisp, the worst in the world, that you would just say, no, I know I'm having a pint of beer in my favorite location and I am hungry, but I'm not eating that rubbish?
Well, I'll tell you what. My problem, I've rarely met a crisp I didn't like. Okay, I'm a sucker for crisps. Obviously, once you get into the vegetarian thing, you have to do the thing about looking to see what the ingredients are. And as you say, most beef crisps they don't have any sort of shaved beef in them or anything. They're just some chemical that somebody made in a laboratory and they stuck it under somebody's nose and said, "What do you think that smells like?" And they said, "I don't know, beef." But it's generally the things that I find troublesome with crisps are the sort of soft flavored things. So, you know, salt and vinegar, fine, you know, bitey. And the chili one, that's fine, you know, got a bit of bite to it. It's the ones that are, you know, like chives or something. But the other week I was in a place in Cornwall, very nice place in Cornwall, and they had behind the counter truffle flavor crisps, right? And I thought, okay, there's no way that's going to be.
Actually, they're very good.
Yeah, it's terrible. They're really good, and they really taste like truffles. And I did the thing, but I bought a packet just to demonstrate to myself that they would be a catastrophe. They're great.
And I don't know what a truffle tastes like, but
what truffle crisps taste like. Great. And I certainly knew after the third packet that. Three packets of truffle crisps, and it turns out they go down really well with a pint of Guinness.
Three packets of crisps and three pints
of Guinness.
Anyway, the reason that we're here, by the way, is not just to try and provide sponsorship from the many exciting crisp producers in this country. We have a Take Two special for the Vanguard. As Beetlejuice is out this week, Mark is going to give you a guide to the best and worst of Tim Burton. And we asked you for your best and worst, which obviously what we mean is your favorite and least favorite Tim Burton films. And at the end of this, we'll combine weekend watch list and weekend not list with One Frame Back, and Mark will give you the definitive five that you'll love and three that you will hate. Okay.
I think I've got a handle on that.
So Christopher McGill, thanks very much to everyone who's taken part. Christopher McGill says highlight would be Edward Scissorhands. And his low light, well, he says Wonka, but he's got to mean Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, yeah.
With, wasn't that with Mr. Depp?
It was with Johnny Depp, yes.
Yes.
Who I think based his performance, if I remember correctly, on Michael Jackson.
Right, so many reasons for that to be a low light, I think. Another Chris gets in touch. Batman Returns for the best, and Planet of the Apes or Dark Shadows for the worst.
Oh, really? James Dark yeah. Shadows.
Yes, he's not impressed.
Wow. Okay. I'm surprised, but okay.
Yes, fine. I'm surprised by Batman Returns being the best. To be honest, James Rodriguez, best Batman Returns, and Ed Wood, worst Planet of the Apes. Paul Klein says best Sleepy Hollow, worst Dark Shadows. The only time I interviewed Johnny Depp was for Sleepy Hollow. And I think he signed a poster or something. And he wrote, "All good things to you, Johnny Depp."
That's a nice thing to write.
That is a nice thing to write. Anyway. And he spent most of the interview talking about his love of British comedy and Paul Whitehouse and their ilk. And Rowan A. Crump. Says best Ed Wood, closely followed by Big Fish, Beetlejuice, and Batman. Worst Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Planet of the Apes.
Okay,
so that's the way that's looking at the moment. I find it hard to have least favorite Tim Burton. I mean, I suppose there are films that you enjoy less than some.
Yeah,
which may be what we're getting at. But anyway, do you want to do top five first of all?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by. I mean, Dark Shadows, I know people didn't like Dark Shadows particularly, but it is definitely true that when you look at the Burton filmography, it's hard to take against any of them.
Yeah.
But so just in this particular moment, my top five Tim Burton movies would be at five, Big Eyes. And I think that you did an interview for Big Eyes.
I did.
With
Tim Burton.
Oh, you were Tim Burton. Man? Okay, fine.
I think it was Tim. I think it was the last time he came on the show. I think.
And the most remarkable thing about it is that it's a true story, and it's a mad true story. It's absolutely bonkers. But you know, there we go. At number four, Corpse Bride, which is just one of those films which, no matter how many times you watch it, it's always charming. It's always kind of got that strange sense of the ghoulish that I love. It's directed by Tim Burton and Mike Johnson, but we're taking it as a Tim Burton movie. Obviously, it's Tim Burton's Corpse Bride. At number three, the original Beetlejuice, including, you know, how can I prove it? Well, I've seen The Exorcist 100 times, and it just gets funnier. At number
and
two,
it also has the banana boat song.
It has the banana sequence. Boat song with everybody floaty, floaty, yeah. Floaty, off we float. And I know the banana boat song is a particular favorite of yours anyway.
Yes.
At number two, perhaps not a favorite for everybody else, but I just loved it. Mars Attacks. We were at Radio 1 when Mars Attacks came out. Do you remember seeing it?
Yes, I do. I think... Who's the interview that we did for that?
Yeah, who did we interview?
I think it was Pierce Brosnan.
Was it? Because everyone and their cousin is in that film.
Yeah.
Act.
Little I'd people. Forgotten Mars Attacks.
Why can't we just live together? Oh, I've never forgotten Mars Attacks. Love, love, love Mars Attacks. But my favorite Tim Burton film is definitely Ed Wood, which I just think is wonderful. I mean, it's a, you know... Scott Alexander and Larry Karaszewski's script is fabulous. And the best thing about it is it's a love letter to cinema, and it's a love letter to somebody who made famously bad films without ever attempting to make bad films. So there's a comparison between that and Big Eyes. You know, the artist who their art is not pastiche, but they have become famous for it becoming a sort of, you know, a benchmark of bad art. And it's just so lovely. And at the end of it, when he says, "This is the one they'll remember me for," and it's lovely. And I think it's a great film. And I think it's a really, really great sense.
Where are you on Batman Returns and Planet of the Apes?
Planet of the Apes, I don't think is terrible. I know that people don't like it, but I remember when I saw it, I just thought, well, it's the first time there's been an Apes movie in which the apes' mouths are moving properly. So although I wasn't a huge fan, I saw it in America, and that may have coloured my view of it. And I don't think I've seen it since. But as somebody who had grown up on the original Planet of the Apes movies, you know, I didn't hate it. I know people do, and I think it's probable that if I went, I have not seen it since it first came out, and mm-hmm. I don't think I were going to. But I remember, you know, kill them all. I thought. Incidentally, that wasn't a voice in your head saying kill them all. That was me quoting the movie just in case anyone's listening.
No, I can tell the difference between the voices in my head and you.
Yes, okay, fine. And Batman Returns I didn't like, but, you know, it's not terrible. It's, you know, it's not an awful film. So shall I give you my three worst? Yes.
Sorry, maybe I was preempting there, maybe.
No, it's fine. Perfectly fine. Well, at number three, I do think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory has to be in there because it is a bit annoying. I think I probably liked it when it came out, but I mean, bear in mind, bottom three Tim Burton films is, it's not that bad, but I did find it annoying. Number two, Dumbo.
Oh, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, you know why you forgot Dumbo? Because there's absolutely no reason for Tim Burton's Dumbo to exist. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Isn't that Colin Farrell? I think I interviewed Colin Farrell for that.
Did you interview Colin Farrell for Dumbo?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Colin mm-hmm. Farrell, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Eva Green, Alan Arkin. I mean, you
good
know.
Cast.
Yeah. What a stinker. And at number one, the first Alice in Wonderland, because it's just, no, stop doing that. We don't need a, you know, an inverted commas live action Alice in Wonderland. Just stop. Just do the stuff which you do best. That said, Alice in Wonderland took an absolute fortune. So what do I know?
Okay, so so Alice in Wonderland, you think it is worse than Dumbo?
Well, yes, because it was a bigger hit, I suppose. I mean, I don't like either of them, and they're both obviously, you know, revisiting a beloved property and doing it in a new way. So you could have them as joint number one. I mean, it's like I said, it's hard to really, really take against anything Tim Burton does because
yes, agreed.
I think he's, you know, so I kind of feel bad about him. But those are if I had to watch all of Tim Burton's films and I was allowed to take three out of the equation, it would be Alice in Wonderland, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Dumbo.
What would you rather do? Watch Ed Wood and not eat or drink anything throughout the entire film, or be sitting in your favourite pub with three pints of Guinness and three packets of truffle crisps?
Well, I love Ed Wood. I mean, I love Ed Wood, and at the
you're
end
turning
of it,
down the crisps and you're turning down the Guinness.
You're the devil.
Saying,
it's, are you, yes. Are you literally like, what's that, when Harry Mets? It's incredible. From the outside, you look like an ordinary person, but in fact, you were the angel of death.
It's, yes. So you're saying no to truffle, you're saying no to Guinness, and you're saying yes to a solitary cinematic experience, watching a film you've seen many times before.
But I love it. I just love it. It's so touching. It's such a, yeah, such a great movie. I love that film.
So that's a no to the Guinness and the truffle crisps.
Yeah. Oh, right. Simon Mayo. Yes. But then, you know, afterwards I can go and have the Guinness and the truffles.
No, 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 no. You're changing the rules.
I'm not. Well,
life is full of choices, Mark. And this is your choice that is going to define your.
Okay. Would you rather shut your thumb in a car door or staple your knee?
I would rather shut my thumb in the car door because I think the thumb is has fewer pain receptors than the knee. The knee is one of the most delicate areas.
I realize this isn't going to work, is it? Because what I should have done is ask you to two things. Because now I go, oh well, now you can't have the staple in your knee, but you don't want the staple in your knee. I've got this whole game back to front. I'm sorry. I retire hurt.
Okay. Well, here's this. I apologize if I told you this before. Child 3, when he was very, very young, used to specialise in these, my favourite of which being, would you rather not have lived at all or to be alive for a second? So I said, well, I suppose on balance, I would rather live for a second. He said, okay, what if the second was full of unspeakable agony? So the choice is you don't live at all or you live for a second in great pain. And I said, well, okay, I don't really want to ask where this came from, but I guess I would rather not have lived at all. So we have these choices.
That is such a child three question, though, isn't it? That's absolutely just sitting there thinking this stuff up. Although,
do you want to live for a second in pain or not?
I am reminded of the Eddie Izzard cake or death thing when it's cake or death, cake or death, cake, and then he gets to the last, but he says cake or death, it's cake. He says, well, we're all out of cake. So what? The choice is or death.
Very good. Okay. Well, if you have any other kind of either or kind of questions like that, may well be precisely designed for you. Send anything to correspondence@kirbynandmayer.com. Thank you for listening. We're back next week. Marvelous.